From summer festival to potential super spreader event, the fallout from Hamilton's Soundsplash gig is becoming clearer. So far, five attendees have tested positive for COVID-19, with at least one confirmed as having the Omicron variant. At least 68 people have been identified as close contacts, and all attendees are advised to self-monitor for symptoms over the next 10 days. Meanwhile, some festival goers have expressed concern over the number of people able to skip vaccine checks and jump the fence at the three-day extravaganza at Mystery Creek. Our reporter Nick Trubridge and cameraman Nick Monroe have the story from Hamilton.
The Kiwi Summer Festival, music, moshes, merriment, a rite of passage for the Kiwi teen. And Soundsplash got in just before it was too late, the last summer gala to fling open its gates at Orange before a move to Red slammed others shut. But now it's the first of those big summer soirees to become a potential super spreader event.
Soundsplash organisers decided to move their event here to Mystery Creek, just outside of Hamilton. It would have usually been held in Raglan. The change because of uncertainty around COVID-19 protocols. Organisers said it was about keeping people safe, but Omicron still found its way in.
It was massive. There were like, I think 8,000 people were there. So yeah, it was pretty packed.
And among the hordes, a few unwelcome guests. These Hamilton gig-goers reckon it would have been pretty easy to sneak into Soundsplash, vaccine pass or not.
Yeah, so they did check our vaccine passes at the very start. But yeah, there were thousands and thousands of people climbing the fences and like, no, it wasn't very monitored that way. So yeah, there were definitely some unvaccinated people there.
Safe to say they're now a little nervous.
I think some of us are kind of like nervous that they probably like do have COVID. But I feel like everyone's just kind of like now, we just have to like get on with it and like it's going to happen eventually. So yeah.
And that's the mood on the streets here in Hamilton. A bit of anxiety, yes, but a sense that Omicron cases are a matter of time and we've just got to deal with it.
A couple of people did come into my bar afterwards, but they hadn't been there the whole time. They'd only been there a little bit during the day. They had their vaccine passes, so I couldn't say no to come in and that there. So we're just keeping an eye on things and make sure it's all right.
I think everyone has that slight anxiety about it. I think there's no possible way that no one couldn't, but I think we'll get through it again like we have the other two times, so yeah.
It is what it is, just got to get on with life and we're not going to stop it. It's here to stay.
Everyone's anxiety about it is pretty low, we're all following the rules and what else can you do?
Festival organisers weren't keen to talk to Checkpoint today, but in a statement say there were minimal reports of attempts to unlawfully enter the event. They say security dealt with those who chose to put others at risk and a small handful of instances were referred to the police. Hamilton Mayor Paula Southgate, meanwhile, echoing the philosophical attitudes of her constituents.
To be honest, people feel a bit over it in the sense that, you know, it's bad news layered on bad news. So I think they're looking forward to a plan of action and getting through this, however we get through this.
And amid reports of some festival goers jumping fences, a plea from the mayor for people to use their noggin.
There's a bit of responsibility among our young citizens, isn't there? They have to play their part to keep us safe. The rules apply to them as they apply to someone else. They should, you know, be taking due care with their mask and their social distancing where possible. And personally, I wouldn't be sharing a drink bottle, would you?
Meanwhile, staff who worked in food trucks at the festival have told Checkpoint it was a well-run event with strict vaccination requirements for everyone coming in and a better behaved crowd than in previous years. They're confident of avoiding Omicron cases, but the outbreak has left a sour note, ending their working summer with almost all other event bookings now pulling the pin. With no wage subsidies or financial support available, it's a tough pill to swallow as they dig back into their savings to survive.
Well, the festival was a magnet for hundreds of teenagers from around the country, and that's prompted some high schools to take swift action. Already, it's believed students at the festival have returned positive tests. Joining me now is Auckland Grammar Headmaster Tim O'Connor. Kia ora, Tim. Any of your students positive as a result of attending this? Do you know?
Kia ora, Lisa. No, we've had 120 students go home today to have a COVID test, and we haven't had any of those results back yet.
So how did you find out that the festival could be a spreader event?
Via the media, via various media reports last night and then again this morning.
And so the 120 students you're talking about, those are students that you have so far identified that attended this at some point over the 3 days?
Yeah, they self-identified. So we asked them, we had some parents overnight contact us and say, given the media report, they're going to keep their son at home and get him tested, which was fantastic. And about another 100 self-identified this morning after I spoke to them and suggested that we want or recommended that they leave the campus immediately, go home, get a negative, get a COVID test and return after they had produced a negative COVID test and await the Ministry of Health actually naming it as a place of interest.
Okay, so you moved and developed your own protocol before the Ministry identified Soundsplash publicly as a location of interest. Well, talk to me about that, the timing and the decisions you had to make.
Well, we really had to decide whether this was potentially an issue that may compromise our campus staff and other students. And we decided it was, and so made an early decision. Given everything that was being printed or shared in the media, it became pretty clear that it was going to become a place of interest. So what we needed to do was act before students got into classrooms, and then we end up with another whole issue altogether. The boys responded in exceptional fashion and immediately left campus, went straight through our health centre team, and have done all of the right things since. And that's how we identified them and how we've been able to work with them and their families.
Given that this was an event that appealed to teenagers and some schools were coming back, what do you make of the time it's taken for the Ministry to actually put an alert out on this?
We started on Tuesday, so it would have been great after the weekend just to receive something to prompt us, because we would have gone out immediately to our community at that point in time and said, can you do it now? So we could have done this 2 days earlier in a precautionary manner and perhaps, hopefully it's not a terrible outcome, but it may well have prevented one if we do end up with some issues.
So you've set the bar slightly higher than what the Ministry has subsequently. They're saying self-monitor for symptoms over a period of 10 days. You've asked your students to get a negative test before coming back. Are you sticking with that protocol?
Yes, we are. We've written to the 120 parents this afternoon saying we want to stick with that. We think it's the right measure. It provides a layer of protection and surety to everyone else here on our campus. And the responses we've had from parents have been one of total support. So absolutely, we expect to act in this manner moving forward with any cases that we deal with.
Tim, you talk to others in the school and community. Are you hearing about any other cases at high schools?
Not yet. I know other schools are dealing with or are responding to the Soundsplash concert in the same manner we are. We have been operating, and so we're live on timetable today. So it's probably a little bit different for us, where we're actually got a full campus of 2,650 boys and 250 staff members.
I suppose this also raises the issue of guidelines and Ministry of Ed guidelines for operating at the red traffic light. I know something was circulated about the 25th of January. Was that soon enough to get those guidelines, and are they helpful or not?
Really, a level three guideline, the sort of material that was published in the bulletin. There's a few changes, but really nothing substantially new for us. We're getting more out of the COVID protection framework and from the health order itself and making decisions from there, setting our own red procedures, health and safety procedures. I guess the issue for the Ministry of Education is they're trying to cover everything from kindergartens and preschools right through to tertiary education. So it's quite generic information from my point of view, where we want to be quite prescriptive for our community.
What are you preparing for in the first 6 months of 2022, Tim?
We're preparing to regularly be asking groups of students to go home. We're preparing for online learning for those students. We're preparing for a loss of staff members, teachers, and how we can actually cope. Does that mean, for example, that we have to roster a cohort home on a certain day if things become serious? And does that cohort work online for that day of the week or more days than one of a week? And so that we can actually cope with teaching classes in person as well. We'd expect to carry on in terms of the campus being open unless it was a significant outbreak. And so we want to be able to be in a position where sport can continue, teaching can continue, aspects of the performing arts can continue as normal as is possible, with people being quite flexible in terms of responding to our requests.
But in a word, Tim, you're expecting it to be complicated, it sounds like.
Complex and unknown, I suspect.
Really appreciate your time this evening, Tim. That's Tim O'Connor, who's the headmaster at Auckland Grammar.